بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. الله سبحانه وتعالى has guided us and he has informed us through the glorious Quran, through the ahadith, the words of his beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a person needs to carry out the obedience, the worship, the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if he wants to be successful. We all know this. We all know that a'mal, it is obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that takes a person to Jannah. But it is not the case that it is as simple as the more a'mal I am carrying now out, the more ibadah I am doing, the more I am progressing towards Jannah. No, it is not that simple. The first thing that we must understand before we go ahead is that there are two types of a'mal. There are two types of a'mal. One type of a'mal is carrying out something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires salah, he is pleased with it. If you carry it out, that is a'mal, you will be rewarded for it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires that a person, he obeys his parents. If you carry out that a'mal, then you will be rewarded for it. At the same time, there is a second type of amal as well, which is staying away from that thing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes and he despises. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes ghibah. If you stay away from ghibah, that is an amal. It doesn't look like an amal. If a person stays away from ghiba, an opportunity comes to do someone's ghiba, he controls himself, he checks himself, he stays away from it, then he doesn't look like he has done any physical action. No one thinks he has done a physical action. He doesn't think that I have done a physical action. He understands that, alhamdulillah, I stayed away from a sin. But at that time, he doesn't think that I have done an amal, but he has done an amal. The action of staying away from something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes, this is also an amal in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for this, a person will be rewarded. So now we have two types of amal. The first type of amal is that thing which is carrying out that thing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to carry out. And the second type of amal is acting upon a prohibition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Staying away from that thing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants a person to stay away from. These are the two categories of amal. Now, when it comes to carrying out any amal, then every amal has a value in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every amal has a value in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And depending on certain factors, the value of the amal can differentiate, it can fluctuate. We all perform the Asr Salah today, alhamdulillah. It is not necessary that the value of my Asr Salah was the same as the value of your Asr Salah. That the value of the Asr Salah of this person was the same as the value of the Asr Salah of that person. It is possible one person's Asr Salah is valued at 10 times more than the other person's Asr Salah. And it is possible that one person's Asr Salah has a value of zero. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the glorious Quran, He says that الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created life and death. Why did He create them? To test you. To test you, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. To see which of you does the best actions. Not just which of you does the most actions. Which of you does the best actions. Meaning that who does actions that have quality, that have those factors, that has the value inside, because of which it will have a weight on the Day of Judgment. And in principle, there are two things that give an action weight. And what we are about to mention ahead is extremely important. Because if a person does not understand this, he does not practice upon it, he can make a lot of effort but not achieve much. He can make a lot of effort without achieving much. How? I have performed 10 salah. I have performed 10 salah. But it is a lot of effort. But I didn't pay attention to making sure those salah were valuable. So I have made a lot of effort and I haven't achieved much. And someone else has performed one salah. They paid attention to making sure it is valuable. They haven't made anywhere near as much effort as me, but they may have achieved a lot more. In essence, if we understand what adds value to our actions, then we will find the shortest path to Jannah. What are the factors that lend value to an action? There are two main factors. The first factor is ikhlas and sincerity. How sincere was that action? How much was that action done solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And to understand how much this affects an action, we only need to look at one hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in a hadith, La tasubbu ashabi. Don't speak ill of my companions. Don't speak ill of my companions, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Why? Because if one of you was to spend a mountain's worth of gold in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it would not equal one mud of grain which one of my Sahaba spends. One mud of grain which one of my companions spends in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be equal by a mountain's worth of gold which a non-Sahabi spends in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is that? The main reason is that as a result of the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum sincerity was of such a high level that one mud of grain which was spent in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had so much weight because of the sincerity, that the people who came after that, even the mountain's worth of gold with sincerity, would not be able to match the reward gained for that one mood of grain. So sincerity is extremely important. That every single action is done solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is not our topic of discussion today. This is also an extremely important topic. Sincerity. And here I should mention, before we move ahead to the actual topic at hand, that attacking a person's sincerity is a very clever tactic of shaitan. Let me explain why. If you and I, we are not performing salah, we are trying to perform salah, we miss our salah, then this is an attack from shaitan. But when shaitan is attacking us at that time, then we understand that I am failing. We understand that I am lacking, I am deficient. I'm in a spot of bother, I'm in trouble. My hereafter is not safe. My Jannah is not safe. Every person who has a basic level of deen, he has a worry of deen, he understands this. And because he understands this, the intention is always, I need to make sure that I perform my salah. I need to make sure I perform my salah. I need to make sure I perform my salah. When he misses a salah, then he often feels guilty as well. But now a person, he has managed to bring salah under control. We are just giving salah as an example. You can apply it to any amal. A person has managed to bring salah under control. So now in his heart, to some degree, he is content that I am doing something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am progressing towards Jannah. Now the second attack of shaitan is that he attacks the person's sincerity. He makes that person perform that action for other than the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that people see my action. So that people think that I am pious. My status remains amongst people. And this attack is much more deadly. Because when shaitan attacks a person in this manner, and if he is successful, then a person thinks that I am progressing towards my hereafter. When he looks at his day, he thinks, Alhamdulillah, I performed all my 5 times salah today. When he looks at his week, he thinks, I didn't miss a single salah for the last 7 days. When he looks at his life, he thinks, for so many years I have been performing salah. And he doesn't even realize that shaitan has attacked me in such a manner that my sincerity has been lost and that salah, it holds no value. My teacher and Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Salim Durrat Sahib Hafidhullah, he gives the example that you can liken it to a balloon. A balloon is very large. A balloon is very large, but it holds no weight. That action which is performed without sincerity, it looks very appealing. It looks very big. And in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the eyes of the people, it may look very big. But on the day of judgment, a person will realize there is nothing but air inside. So, sincerity is extremely important. And the more a person does a'mal, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a person the tawfiq to do a'mal, the more a person needs to be careful about his sincerity. Because shaitan understands that this person is doing so many a'mal. So he is doing so much for his hereafter. I am not able to stop him from doing a'mal. Let me see if I can attack his sincerity. That person who is performing 3 salah, he is still struggling to get the other 2 under control. Shaitan will not attack his sincerity as much as that person who has been performing 5 times salah for the last 10 years. That person who just about makes it to salah, he is very busy. He performs his salah. Shaitan will not attack his sincerity as much as that person who comes early for salah. He spends extra time in the masjid. He sits back, he stays in the ta'aleem as well. Why? Because shaitan understands that this person, he is doing a lot more actions. So I am not able to stop him from doing actions. So the other way I can destroy his actions is by removing the sincerity. So this is the first point, that in all of our actions we should pay special attention to, that it's sincerity there. And this, my brothers, if a person does not focus upon his intention, he does not keep checking his intention, he will never catch this illness. If a person just does actions, just sincerity creeps in. This is ostentation, riya, doing actions for the sake of the people, it creeps in. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith that, shall I inform you of something which creeps into a person's actions like an ant creeps? What does it mean? If an ant walks along, then you can't hear it. You can barely see it. If you look closely, you might be able to see it. It doesn't leave, when it passes, it doesn't leave any sign. It doesn't leave any footprints. In the same way, when riya, ostentation, a change of intention creeps into a person's action, it doesn't leave any sign. It needs to, a person focuses, then he will spot it. That is the first factor. How to bring sincerity into a person's life, this is a different topic. This is not my original topic of discussion, but because it's extremely important that we are touching upon it. That at the very least, we make it a goal. Secondly, what is the second factor that adds value to a person's actions? That is the second factor that adds value to our actions is how closely is that action done in accordance with the method shown by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm performing salah. How close is that salah to the salah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? I'm reciting the Quran. How close is that recitation to the recitation of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? To the guidelines given by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? For this, a person will have to gain knowledge. For this, a person will have to gain knowledge. Every single action in his life, he will have to gain the knowledge. What is the method shown by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? To the extent that even the worldly actions, he should gain the knowledge. What is the method shown by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to eat. How did he eat? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to sleep. How did he sleep? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to spend time with family. How did he spend time with family? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to travel. How did he travel? What we call the sunnahs. But unfortunately, the word sunnahs, when we hear it, only a few sunnahs come into our mind. The sunnahs of eating, the sunnahs of sleeping. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what were his guidelines for spending time in the masjid? How did he enter the masjid? How did he leave the masjid? When he was in the masjid, what did he do? What did he not do? What did he advise us to do? What did he advise us to stay away from? All of this, if we learn, then we will learn, we will gain more and more information. We will gain more and more knowledge about the method of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the method of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the quickest, the best way to success. But for this, we will need to gain knowledge. For this, we will need to gain knowledge. And this is something which no person can say it's very, very difficult. No person can say it's very, very difficult. I am performing salah. Whether I lift my hands in accordance with the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or I don't lift my hands in accordance with the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, both of them, it's not the case that one requires a lot of extra effort. It doesn't. It requires a little bit more knowledge and a bit more attention. I come into the masjid according to the method shown by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it doesn't require a lot more attention, a lot more effort. It requires a little bit of extra knowledge and a bit more attention. I eat according to the method of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, whether you eat without adhering to the guidelines of the sunnah, or whether you eat whilst adhering to the guidelines of the sunnah, it's not that one requires a huge effort and one doesn't. That is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would teach this to children as well. He would teach this to children as well. Once a child who was in the care of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Umar ibn Abi Salama, radiyallahu anhu, at this time he was a child, at the time of this incident, he was eating with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam noticed that when he was eating, then in the plate, in the utensil, he was taking some food from here, he was taking some food from there, he was taking some food from there. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't think it's only a child. What's the point of giving him some points? Like we often do. When we see our children doing something which is against deen or which is against sunnah, we say he's only a child. In Arabic there is a statement, Al-ilmu fi sighar kan naqshi fil hajar. That knowledge which is gained in childhood, it's like carving onto a stone. It stays with the person. One of the failures in our tarbiyah of our children is that for a long time we think he's only young. He won't understand this. And before we have made that decision that now he is ready, we have already lost him. He's already taken another path in life. So this child was eating with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Umar ibn Abi Salama radiallahu. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam noticed this. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, Ya Bunayya, oh my beloved son, Sammillah, take the name of Allah. He gave him some additional meaning, when you eat, then take the name of Allah. We say Bismillah, say Bismillah wa barakatillah. And the second point, when you eat, then don't roam your hand around in the plate. So Sayyidina Umar ibn Abi Salama radiallahu says, the effect of that teaching was, from then on, I practiced upon that. What I am trying to say is that it is not difficult to bring the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our lives. In every part of our life. But it does require knowledge. Gain knowledge from the ulama. See, ask the ulama, which books can I read to gain the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And like I said, in every part of our life, is my wudu according to the sunnah? Is my salah according to the sunnah? A child is born in the family. Am I doing everything according to the sunnah? I am giving him a name. Is that name according to the sunnah? One of the unique features of our deen is that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's life and his guidelines have been preserved in such a manner that it is unbelievable. It is unbelievable. Just regarding the method of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's eating, you will not find tens, maybe more than 100 ahadith. And I'm giving a conservative estimate. Maybe more than 100 ahadith. Just regarding how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to eat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did this because that was in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the best way of living. Every single action, how he spent time with his wife, how he fulfilled his desires with his wife. What advice he gave about how to get married. Every single part of his life, it is the best according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted that my servants, they understand this method of life. And they copy it because this is the easiest path to Jannah. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Say, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O my Nabi, tell the people that إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ, if you claim to love Allah, if you claim to love Allah, if a person claims to love someone, that means he wants to be close to that person. He wants to be loved by that person. He wants an attachment with that person. So if you want an attachment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you want to become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in return, of course, you want the success of this world and the hereafter, then fattabi'uni, follow me. فَاتَّبِعُونِ follow me. Follow in my footsteps. What does فَاتَّبِعُونِ mean? فَاتَّبِعُونِ means that someone has taken a path. He has walked from one place to the other. And the ground is such that it leaves footprints. It is sand, it is soft soil. And a person, he walks in those footprints. فَاتَّبِعُونِ doesn't mean the person was in that direction. So let me follow in that direction. فَاتَّبِعُونِ means he walks in those footprints. He places his foot where the person places his foot. So follow Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that closely. And then, what will happen in return? يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you his beloved. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. And when you reach that stage, then whatever errors you make, whatever little errors you make, we are all human, we slip, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them. Let me end by mentioning one or two incidents about the people of the past who made this an objective. A great saint of the past, the name escapes my memory. He, in his era, the king, he was a Muslim, passed away. The king, he saw a dream. The king saw a dream. And in the dream, he saw that the janazah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is taking place. The funeral of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is taking place. He woke up, he was worried that this dream seems like some kind of bad news. The funeral of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is taking place. He gathered the people who are experts in the interpretation of dreams, and he asked them, what is the interpretation? One expert he mentioned that in my view, the interpretation is that so-and-so pious person of our time has passed away. He mentioned the name of the pious person. That is the interpretation of the dream. The king made inquiries. That has this person passed away? It came to light that in reality, that person had passed away. So the king called the interpreter and he said to him that your interpretation was correct. But I don't understand your interpretation. The funeral of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is taking place in my dream. And you are saying it means so-and-so person has passed away.
So the interpreter said that your dream did not mean that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has passed away. Your dream meant that that person whose life is the closest to the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he has passed away. And in our era, there is no person whose life is closer to the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam than this person. Sayyidina Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, a very famous sahabi. He was somewhat young in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but he was obsessed with the actions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How obsessed was he with the actions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam? He had learned the route Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam took for Hajj. And he didn't only learn the route, he learned where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam stopped. Where did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam stop to rest? And where did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam stop when he stopped to relieve himself? And whenever he would go for Hajj, he would rest where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would rest. And when he would come to a place where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had relieved himself, even if there was no need for him to relieve himself, he would stop there. Because with the intention that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam stopped there. The people of the past, whoever was successful in the past, they were successful because they understood that my actions don't hold value unless my life doesn't hold value, unless it resembles the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. My salah doesn't hold value unless it resembles the salah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I've mentioned to you a few incidents of those people, those actions, and those people whose actions were resembling the actions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now let me end with an incident on the opposite end. When a person, he ignores and he doesn't bother making sure his actions resemble the actions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then sometimes those actions become a means of punishment instead of reward. It is the era of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. And a person comes into the masjid. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu is either in the masjid or someone, one of his associates is in the masjid. This person comes, it is the time between Asr and Maghrib Salah. And between the time between Asr and Maghrib Salah, it is not permissible to perform Nafal Salah. This person comes and he begins performing some Nafal Salah. So Ali radiallahu anhu, he sees this person. So he sends someone that go and inform the person that it's not permissible to perform Nafal Salah. You shouldn't be performing Nafal Salah at this time. So the person, he was not someone who was so civilized, a villager. He was not so aware maybe of the rank of Ali radiallahu anhu as well. So he came and he said that he got angry. And he came and he said to Ali radiallahu anhu that, why are you stopping me from performing Salah? You are stopping me from performing Salah. Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to punish me for performing Salah Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't punish anyone for performing Salah. But he does punish people for going against the way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the Salah is not performed between Asr and Maghrib. And because you are going against that way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish you for it. So let us make this an objective of our life. And let us learn. This will not come without knowledge. And when we gain this knowledge, then let us spread it amongst our family as well. If we do this, then inshallah our actions will hold value. And when they are placed in the scales on the day of judgment, then the scale will go down. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to practice upon what has been said. Ameen wa akhiru da'wan. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Inshallah there are refreshments after salah as well. So everyone is requested to partake of them as well. May Allah
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله. اللهم ربنا.